So we've been talking about what do you want for Christmas, and I don't know if you noticed them, but they've been Christmas prayers. And Zach started out a few weeks ago with Zachariah and Elizabeth, and they wanted a baby so bad, and they didn't have one for a long, long time. And even at the end nearly of his life, Zachariah still prayed. And we talked about what happens when you seemingly don't get what you ask for. And Pastor Zach said straight up, you can trust God with the logistics of your life. He talked about air traffic controllers and generals and mamas, and they're all amazing, and they all have these abilities to help with logistics and design and intent and caring for people. And God made all of those people. And so you can trust him because he's even better than all those people. And then after that, I talked about Mary and how what happens when you get what you didn't quite ask for. I mean, more than you could have imagined, right? And more than what you asked for. And we'll talk about that in a second. But in James 1, 16 through 18, we find out something that I think often I need to be reminded of. And I want to remind you of it again today. Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He loves us and blesses us and gives us good things that we could actually show the people in the world his goodness. And so you can trust God. He's the best gift giver ever. So receive from him. We looked at that, right? Rejoice that he's given. And relax. That doesn't mean don't do anything, relax, but don't stress and don't fret. He's given to you, and so he's got something for us. And he's got it figured out. He's the best gift giver ever. Last week, we looked about, at, like I said earlier, what happens when you get more than what you ask for. Anna and Simeon, these guys had been praying and longing for the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah, and so I asked you to accept that not only is Jesus Lord and Savior, but follow him and make him known. That he's not just saying, look, I want you guys to just be happy and comfy. I want you to sit right over here and just enjoy life. Don't worry about anything. No, he's like, I'm your Lord and Savior. That means I call the shots. You do what I say. And that will mean that sometimes there's suffering and sacrifice. And we get tired of that. We don't want that. Let me ask you guys, and I'm asking you online as well, at what points in your life have you seen God the most? When things are easy and just going exactly the way you had hoped? Or when you're struggling and when there's suffering and when you can't put it all together on your own? Because he's faithful and he's good and he's with you. And so I thought, gosh, you know, just like John said, this happens to be Jesus that we're celebrating, right? And not only what do you want for Christmas, but let's talk about the birthday boy. What does he want for Christmas? But more than that, and that seems a little bit kind of cheesy, so I just want to ask you, what does Jesus want? What do you guys know that Jesus wants? Me. Amen. Leslie says, me. He wants you. How do you know what God wants? Read the Bible. Angie says read the Bible. You think we're going to find out what God wants from reading the Bible? I think it's a good call. Deuteronomy 10:12. Hey, what does the Lord require of you? Well, this. Fear God, walk in his ways, love him, follow his commands. Serve him with all your heart, all your soul. Micah 6:8, maybe you know that one, right? You've sung the song. We got some worship leaders in the crowd right now, and we're not allowed to sing, so to speak, and we've been doing this amazing job of worshiping without singing out loud. But he's shown you, oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And then finally, right, Jesus asked, what's the greatest commandment? How do you just summarize everything? And he says, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the greatest commandments. This guy, like, asked Jesus that question, and Jesus says, well, what do you understand? And he said these things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. And Jesus goes, good call. You're not far from the kingdom. How could you have the right answer and still not necessarily be in the kingdom? What do you guys think? You got to practice it. You got to do it. Let's say I put a $15 gift card underneath your seat and said you should go give that to somebody or you could enjoy it for yourself. What good is that if you leave it? It's no kind of good. It's not going to work. God has given you. He's shown you. He wants you. And as Leslie said, he actually wants you. And so Jesus, more than what I just read, actually shortly before he was to die, prayed a prayer that's like getting into the most intimate moments of his life, near the end of his life. What does he want? Well, this prayer, after the baby grew up, in John 17, unpacks it. And I'm going to say just a couple things for you. Jesus, in this prayer, prays for himself. He prays for his immediate disciples right there who have been taking him at his word and following him, some for 3 years, some throughout the process of the 3 years they came to him, and one of them actually just totally abandoned him. But he prayed for them, but he also prayed for all believers of all time that would come to know him through his faithfulness and through his disciples. And so when we're saying, what does Jesus want? He's told us. And so good news, we're going to check that out. And I'm going to summarize it because I know that some people like really, really, really enjoy being told what they're going to be told. And then having that unpacked. And then at the end, hearing it again. This is what I just told you. And so I'll try to do that for you. What does Jesus want? He wants God to be glorified. He wants God to get all the props. He wants God's people to be sanctified, set apart for him and for his good work, even in a dark time. He wants his church to be unified. If you don't know what unified means, let me say it like this. He wants us to be together. Is that under any kind of attack today? Gosh, that's such a just dumb question. Of course it is. It's been under attack for a long time. But we're more divided as people in Christ than ever before. As the old saying goes, this prayer of Jesus that his church would be united is the only prayer that has not been answered. And yet, look at us today. We're here. I'm preaching to people that are like, yeah, I want to be a part of this. And so thank you. And it may seem like I'm beating the sheep that decided to show up. I'm not. I'm just saying, look, this is something he wants. And we get to be a part of it. And thank you for being a part of it. Finally, he wants God to be magnified. Remember, God can't get bigger than he already is, but he can be made closer to people. He can be made more clear to people. Like a magnifying glass makes things clearer. And so he wants God to be magnified by sharing the good news of Jesus, the gospel, with a lost world. One of the things that came to my mind even this morning as I was going through my notes and going through my message and praying is that he wants the focus of the good news to be God. Not just what am I going to get, but who's the gift giver? Because that's the greatest reward, is oneness with him. So here we go. John 16:33. Jesus is telling people, and I'll let you look it up, and we're going to have it up on the screen. But Jesus is telling his people, right before he's about to die, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's literally about to die. This is like his last will and testament, if you will. I mean, he never, ever leaves people with just one thing. He leaves them with himself. His spirit was in him. But listen to this. We're privileged to hear him warn his people and then have this intimate prayer with his daddy. And we get to hear and find out, what does Jesus want? So right here before Christmas, can we focus on the reason why Christmas even has a name? It's him and what he wants. But he warns his people, you're going to go through a lot of hardships. But look at how he ends this before he prays. John 16:33. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Good news. And then he prays. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Some of you heard the word glory so much that you just started checking out. I'm going to tell you something about us as people and image bearers. We love glory. We're actually glory thieves. We try to take the glory. Jesus, the one who actually is glory personified, gave it up so he could be here. And so he's praying. And so what does Jesus want in this just little first part where he prays for himself? He's actually praying for us as well. But he wants glory. Give God glory. That used to be a phrase, like, give God the glory. That means tell the truth. Well, he's saying, look, I want you to be glorified, and I want people to know you. That's what eternal life is, right? Knowing God, knowing his Son, Jesus Christ, being in right relationship. But at the end right there, verse 5, he says, look, I want my glory back. I want to be one with you. I want, look, I'll read it for you one more time. Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. He was longing for that. But you know what? We're about to read that he didn't just want that for him. He wants that for us too. For all of his people. So what does Jesus want? He wants glory. And he wants you to have eternal life. He wants us to have eternal life. Knowing God. So next we're going to see him pray for his disciples. I want you to understand that there was an immediate application of this prayer request for the people that followed him. But we're included in that if we're his followers. But can we just look at this 6 through 19 about what Jesus wants about his people and for his people. Now I've manifested, if you don't know what the word manifest means, it means show or reveal, make known, right? I've manifested your name. More about your name in a second. But I've manifested your name to the people whom you've given me out of the world. Now he's in the world praying about people you've given him out of the world. This is sanctification. This is being set apart even while you're here. Good news. Watch this. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I've given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. I feel like right now I need to pause and just say, if you've received the good news from Jesus, you've received his word, you've understood that he's the living word, you've understood that he's life, and you've been struggling and you've been wandering, you already know the good news. Come back. Do you know that he's praying about people that get it and they're about to abandon him? He already knows the story, friends. And he knows your true heart. Come back to him. It's not only okay, it's what he came for. I'm praying for them. But I'm not only praying for the... He says, I'm praying for them. Verse 9. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they're yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Leslie said that Jesus wants you. If you're his, he has you. And he will not let you go. You're his. And he's going to be glorified in you. Try not to fight him on that one. I'm no longer in the world, but they're in the world. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name. I can't keep going any longer without talking about name for a second. This is a third time in just a little tiny bit that he says name. You've kept them in your name. Name, name, name. What's the name of God? Who? Yahweh. I am. His name's also Father. What does name mean? It's his character. It's his nature. Look, I love this. He says, I've shown your name. I've come and lived this out. I've kept them in your name, in your character. I wrote this down because it hit me really hard this week. I don't even know who wrote it. I don't know where I'd heard it. It was in my mind. Us as believers, as Christ followers, as Christ ones, we're secure for lots of reasons. But the very nature of God is the best one. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change like we read in James 1. He keeps us. That's the nature of salvation, is the nature of God. He's a rescuer. He's God. You're not. And then how about this? Jesus actually prays for us. He's praying. We know that in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit actually prays for us and interprets prayers. And it's just nuts. How in the world? I don't always feel it. Good news. You don't have to feel it for it to be true. But it's nice. You get to feel it every now and then too. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, verse 12, which you've given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. What a terrible title that would be. And we know that that was Judas. And he did so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things that I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. That might remind you of the Lord's Prayer a little bit. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Okay, you guys, I know that a ton of different things can be going through your mind right now. And some of you are just like, gosh, Aaron's voice just puts me to sleep. Maybe it's because you're tired. Maybe it's not putting you to sleep at all. Maybe you're just like on the edge of your seat because you and I get to actually look into this prayer of Jesus and be close to him and hear what he wants. It is his birthday after all. What does he want? He wants you and I to be kept. He's praying, hold them in these four ways. Keep them in joy. Keep them in protection. Keep them in sanctification. Set them apart. They're here, but they're not going to be like the world here. And they're in truth. That's what we have. We don't have the big budget that Hollywood or ESPN or anything else might have. This church is not going to be able to be like any other huge churches with this great production quality. We do what we can. But all of those churches get to be united in joy, protection, sanctification, and the truth of Jesus. We have this great news. And he's praying for his followers that they would follow and they would share the truth. And now, he comes to us. 2,000 plus years ago, right before Jesus died, he prayed for you. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Do you believe in him through the word of truth? I mean, you're here. That's wonderful. Some people go to a church service because that's what's comfortable for them. Some get comfort from that. Some get challenged from that. Some unite in Jesus in congregation. But he's saying, look, these people believe through the word that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. I'm going to say this really clearly to you. Preachy as it may be, you and I being united with each other and God makes for the believability of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. The glory that you have given me, I've given to them. Jesus shares on his birthday. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly, completely one. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. How much does Jesus get loved by the Father? However much the Father loves Jesus, he actually loves you too. Merry Christmas. Father, I desire. That word desire means want. What does Jesus want? There you go. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. He's saying, look, I got something more for them. I can't wait for them to be with me to be able to come and see how rad this really is because they've only got a glimpse so far down here. And he's like, gosh, just bring them home, Daddy. But he's not asking for them to be out of the world, but to love him and to trust him right here. This is us that he's talking about. This is us who he's praying for. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, your nature, your character, and I will continue to make it known to this day and forever, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. I said before, and I'll try and say it in a different way. This is some difficult preaching because I'm talking to people who are actually wanting to be one. What does Jesus want? He wants us to be one. He wants us to be unified. He wants glory, and he shares glory, and he wants us to share the love. At this moment, there's people that have left Crosswater because we're not singing out loud. At this moment, there's people who have left Crosswater because we're wearing masks or not wearing them enough. At this moment, we have people that have broken fellowship with Crosswater because they don't like what's happened at Crosswater during a global pandemic. I'd love to tell you that Crosswater is the only church that is experiencing this, but the church worldwide is experiencing this. I hate Facebook. It's a mess. Social media is a mess. We've been trying to redeem that and use that to spread the good news and to be able to be in communion with one another. But there are people that don't like the way things are done, and they've taken their ball and they've gone. This is not to the glory of God. This is to the glory of man. And it's not just Crosswater, for goodness sake. I don't believe in our own tiny community that we're the only church. We're part of the only church. And that's beautiful. But how do we glorify God when we're consistently worried about what we're getting out of it? It's not your birthday. You're not the king. I said this before. There was a man on Twitter that said, look, you should really hold on to your preferences and your desires in worship if you're the one who's being worshiped. If not, you should probably give that up. And that's hard. You guys know, and I make no apologies at all for this, one of my favorite teachers in the whole entire world is Dr. Tony Evans. And he said this in his commentary in his study Bible, which is kind of funny if you just think about it for a second. John MacArthur and all these people have study Bibles named after them. I got a Bible named after me. I'm like, oh, did you write it? Why don't we just call it the Holy Bible? But Dr. Tony Evans, the Tony Evans Study Bible, listen to this. Our involvement in the church is not trivial. We're caught up in something much bigger than us. We are called to serve the Lord in unity so that the love and glory of our Trinitarian, which triune, together three as one, that the glory of our Trinitarian God is visibly and powerfully manifested to a watching world. This is what we can give to Jesus. Friends, it's so much more impressive for us to not enjoy what's going on at a particular fellowship and still be engaged in it. So thank you, all of you, because I don't think for a second that if all the pastors and all four of us and the elders aren't excited about everything that's going on, we're not even excited about all the choices we've made, much less what everybody else might be doing. Hey, come over here, we're doing this. There was a pastor not too long ago who came to my house, knocked on my door. I was gone. God probably spared me that moment. And talked to my wife. And she goes, oh, wonderful, you're going door to door. That's beautiful, thank you. We helped start the church called Crosswater. He goes, oh. And she goes, oh. He goes, you're not really doing it right. She's like, what? He's like, yeah, the good news and just the way you guys do it and the music and all of that, it is wrong. So if you don't mind, I'm going to keep telling people because they need to be able to go to a good church. I'm like, oh. Like I said, it was a gift from God that I wasn't home. But what would I have done? Continued the disunity is what I would have done. Look, he's telling the good news, and he thinks he's the only one, and he's not, but at least he's telling it, and he's sharing it. That's my family. I don't love how he's doing it, but I'm grateful that he is. So I'm not naming his church. Part of me wants to give you his home address. But I'll fight that. Look, friends, for us to be able to give into and submit to authority that we don't agree with is to actually be like Jesus. I don't have to compromise the good news to submit to a pagan government. As a matter of fact, it gives us a chance to shine brighter in a dark place. There will come a time when we get called to do things that are against the word. And we better stand up and be united in that. Because right now we've been getting our butts whooped. And in Jesus' name, I pray we fix our eyes back on him and keep making much of him and not just in comfortable ways for us. So in John 18:37, Jesus said why he was born. So here at the last message, well, Christmas Eve, join us 3, 5, 7, or 9 o'clock. Love for you to join us. If you want to join all four, it's going to be the same one over and over again, but maybe you'll get more out of it each time. Like I said, you might see a little more of this, but you're going to see Jesus. We're going to point people to him. But on this last message before Christmas, let's look at why Jesus came. He's at the end of his life when he says this in John 18:37. He's before the man who has the authority to kill him. And he pointed out that that authority had been given to him by God the Father. And in John 18:37, Jesus says this. Well, he answers the question. Pilate says to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I've come into the world." Are you on the edge of your seats? This is why he came. To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. What does the King Jesus want for you and from you? The believability of the good news is at stake. He wants life. He wants glory. He wants truth. He wants sanctification. He wants you to have eternal life, to know him and to know his Father. So what do you want for Christmas? Do you want what Jesus wants? One of my favorite Christmas movies is certainly my dearest friend John Merwin's favorite Christmas movie. It's Christmas Vacation. So much stuff that happens in that, and some of it's just outlandish and funny. But there's this guy, Cousin Eddie, and he just needs a lot of help. He needs a lot of work. He goes shopping with Clark, his cousin, Clark Griswold, the leader of this circus. And they're going through Walmart, and Eddie keeps throwing all these big, huge bags of dog food into Clark's cart. Clark doesn't have a dog, but Eddie does. And he's just like, "Oh, thank you, this." And long story short, Clark says, "Hey, what are you doing for the kids for Christmas?" He goes, "If I'm just being honest, Clark, we don't have anything for them. We came rolling in on fumes. That RV that we have, that's our house. We don't really have anything for the kids." And Clark says, "We want to help you with that." And he's like, "No, I'm not one for charity, Clark. I can't take that." He goes, "No, please, please, we want to give you this. If you don't tell us, we'll just come up with stuff on our own." And then Eddie goes, "Well, okay." And he pulls out a list in alphabetical order, starting with his wife and moving down the kids. And then he looks at him and he says, "And if it's not too much, if you have some left over, I want you to get yourself something real nice." funny, crazy, and there's a message. When you're all done with what you want, will you give something to Jesus? Or will you start with Jesus? Besides, you're asking him to give something to him with his own money. And so you can give to him because he's given to you. What he wants for Christmas is for you and him to be united. You and his people to be united. This is not a joke. This is not a Hollywood movie. This is real life. Give to Jesus because he's given to you. He loves you so much. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the good news. I thank you that while we were far from you, you came to us. Your word says that very few people would die for upright, amazing people. But you went so much further that while we were still sinning, you died for us sinners. May we understand you. May we bless you. May we not just want you to get yourself something real nice. May we give ourselves to you and watch you live through us and make your name known. You want us to share, and I'm so grateful for that. May we do so in your precious name. Amen.